Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. We are back. Finally, on a Monday night, a different time. Welcome to another sports edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man that still have a job for the time being. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the coach who don't know how to coach for anything, the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again, in the arena, in the stadium. Well, at least I'm here, and a certain coach isn't. And,
Well, before we continue, is there anybody listening out there? You know, this was a last-minute show. Sean and I agree. I mean, you know what? Despite that, we have schedule conflicts. But you know what? After what's going on in the news today, we have to talk about it for a few minutes. So if you're out there, you are calling 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to talk about sports?
Yes, I am. And I don't need to piss anyone off because I think we already were pissed off. So how about that?
Okay. Before we go on and go to Phil, the fish man, in a minute, I'd like to address that. It's funny. This is the year of the NFL, like Sean Black, excuse me. So you're a football fanatic. Out of all the years you've been watching football, have you ever seen so much drama, so much chaos happening? And I'm talking about off the field. I mean, some drama happened on the field, but like so many storylines happen off the field. Like, can we recall any time when you see all this happening within a season?
In all the years, no. I've been an NFL fan, football fan since I was a kid, and I've seen players hold out. I've seen holdouts from owners. I've seen strikes. I've seen injuries. I've seen drug scandals. I've seen lots of things. I can't remember the last time that I have heard so many things and seen so many things. As you said, on the field, between players being suspended because of performance-enhancing drugs, injuries, cheap shots, people getting suspended, protests. The list goes on and on and on. This has got to be one of the most polarizing seasons of football that I can remember in a long, long time.
And, of course, from last week, we discussed about the benching of Eli Manning. Let's find out today, around like 11:50-something, breaking news, the New York Giants has fired first the coach, Ben McAdoo, then Jerry Reese, whatever his name is.
I think the New York Giants fans wouldn't mind having Jerry Rice with the squad at some point.
You know. All right, but you know what? I'm not going to start it off. I'm going to let Phil, the first Matt Fisher, start this off. You got anything? Here are my two questions.
Go ahead. What's question one?
Were you surprised by the firing of this? It will be gone. Are you surprised they fired him right away, especially after that loss from yesterday? And number two, was it the right move right now?
Oh, absolutely. I think the franchise couldn't wait till season's end. And the reason why is McAdoo did this whole thing was done the wrong way with benching the quarterback. And when you mess with the and once you start to mess with the franchise and in the situation that you are in, your days are numbered. And if you could remember back to when Don Nelson was the coach of the Knicks, and the reason why I'm bringing that up with, he came out against a lot of players saying that Hubert Davis was better than John Starks. Doug Christie was having problems with him, and he was ecstatic about a trade to L.A. But once he messed with Patrick Ewing, he was done. And this is the same thing that happened. Once he benched the franchise, and here's the thing, if you noticed all week, no one was talking about protesting or anything because everybody around the league, from former players to current players, were coming out in support of Eli Manning.
For once, you brought a very strong, good point. For the first time in almost a year, in over a year, we forgot about the protest. Go figure. That's a very good point. Go ahead.
But it had to be done because this team was going nowhere. It was spiraling out of control. Okay, granted, you know, our three best wide receivers are gone. Injuries. You know, you lose Beckham, you lose Brandon Marshall, you know, Sterling Shepard is not 100%. You lose Dwayne Harris. That's half your wide receiving core. And let's not forget, the running game is not the greatest either. I mean, Orleans Darkwa has had a couple of good games, but he's not the greatest. Gallman, they got, you know, the list just goes on and on. But this had to be done. The fans have been speaking about it for God knows how long, you know, and I'm sure other players around the league were like, this guy is a putz. And when you come up on the meet, and when you, during your post games, you stand there with a blank face. What the heck are you doing? And of course, one grease ball in New York was enough. Now this one here, oh God, this one's even worse. And when I refer to grease ball, I mean Pat Riley.
Okay. Wow. You have a lot to say to get off your chest, I see. Sean Black.
Where do I start?
Oh God.
Your original question that you asked to Phil was, are you surprised? Is this what the main question is?
Yeah, main question, because once again, we all knew McAdoo or the GM would be gone after the season. Are you surprised they did it right away, especially after yesterday's game? Because remember, I sent you right away.
I'm not surprised. It had to happen, and the reasoning behind it having to happen this week is because the Giants come back home to MetLife. After going 2-9, going into the last week, knowing that you were going to be on the road against the Raiders, who were fighting for their playoff lives, and all of the garbage that we spoke about on Thursday that potentially would happen, and having the result that happened on Sunday, there is no way on God's green earth that a franchise that is looked at in the annals of the NFL, a franchise that has been around since the late 20s, early 30s, and has had the storied mindset, the storied history, tarnished and run amok and through the mud and trampled on by the way that they handled the Eli Manning benching. What we stated before, this team is going into the game Sunday 2-9. We know they're not going to the playoffs. They were mathematically eliminated. It wouldn't make a difference anyway. They want to see what the future is. You have Davis Webb, a rookie that you get out of Cal, but you made him inactive all season. Then you go ahead and say, okay, Geno Smith is the guy who I have no problem with saying he's got to at some point try to resurrect his own career to see where he can go. But we know what he is. This is the way you treated a guy who's got over 50,000 passing yards. A guy that's got well over 300 touchdowns, every passing record in the New York Giants book, and would be a borderline Hall of Famer because he has something that a lot of quarterbacks that are already in the Hall of Fame don't have. Two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl rings. And then you look at all of the stuff that's happening, this had to happen. What makes it worse is that Eli was made susceptible to this garbage. And then the team went out on Sunday and still lost. To have all of this happening, to bring in a quarterback who's only thrown 28 touchdowns and 36 picks, and then you're going to put him in, and that's going to be the difference on the road? I'm sorry. Doesn't work. Doesn't float my boat. And all of this had to go. Jerry Reese didn't do anything to help this team build as far as the last several years. He's had some picks that have worked, but this is a franchise that very rarely fires anybody. The last two general managers, speaking of Jerry Reese, the last two general managers, George Young, Ernie Accorsi, they both retired in the job. This is how this franchise works, and that's over the last 30, 40 years. Usually the same thing with coaches. You don't see many coaches with the New York Giants come in and out unless something happens.
Tom Coughlin, hello.
I didn't say it doesn't happen. I said it doesn't happen often. Usually with this Giants squad, they usually pick a coach that is going to grow with the franchise. And usually, and in for the exception of a couple cases, Ray Hanley, we know that didn't work. The McAdoo, obviously this didn't work. But, like, Coughlin was with this team almost a full, at least a decade. So he's been here for a while. He, matter of fact, he was here the year that Eli was drafted. So he was here. We had Fossil. Fossil got this team to the Super Bowl. We've had coaches with the Giants that have had tenure. Well, we've also had a couple of bad picks, people that were here for a quick hot cup of coffee, and that was it. But for the most part, we've had Parcells. We've had, even though we had Hanley, but after that, we had Dan Reeves, who was here for a while. We've had Coughlin. We've had all of the things that have happened with the Giants team. And I'm going to ask you this, Hot Rod. As a fellow Giants fan, I don't want to make this sound like some New York bias, but as a New York Giants fan, why do you think it took this franchise this long to make this move the way they did?
Well, you asked me a question that you basically answered yourself already. You said that normally the Giants don't do this type of thing. They love to give second chances, third chances. They very rarely fire people.
Yeah.
So Ben McAdoo did make it to the playoff last season, and they probably want to see what, you know, this season. Yes, they're not working out right. By the same time, I think once they heard the players was about to, you know, wear the number 10 on their uniform for next week,
yes,
as you say, they was coming home. Mara, the owner, like, well, hold on, something got to give. Because once again, the New York Giants have cracks. They make, they screw up the situation. I think people feel bad for Eli, and like I say on Thursday show, you should not feel bad for Eli. This is a cold business. This is how it gets done. Whether you agree with it or not, this is not the first time this thing happened. This won't be the last time that happened to a franchise player. Remember Joe Montana? Went with the 49ers? Brett Favre? It happens all the time. This is how the business is run. So I think people do take it a little bit too personally, whether you're a fan or not, about this Eli situation. I did not say it's not screwed up, but this is how the business is, whether you like it or not.
I think most people would have understood the move if there was something in place that made the move make sense and it was done in a respectful way. In sports, the majority, when you hear most people in sports talk about something, whether it's a particular player at a position, whether it's a contract or whatever, what do you usually hear most of the time outside of, well, the reason why money isn't given or this? Most players, all they really want is respect and dignity, which is the reason why when you hear a particular player got paid X amount of money more so than somebody else at his same position, the idea is he got that extra money not just necessarily because of talent and what he's done in the past, but because of respect. Eli Manning was not given the respect that was needed of somebody of his stature that had been with a team that had done what he did. Because let's really be honest, Jerry Reese and McAdoo and some of the other guys that are within the organization only have jobs because of what Eli Manning had done over the 13 previous years.
Correct.
Now, Eli hadn't fully performed in the way that we think he should have, but also he was crippled just 2 years ago. I mean, not last year, but 2 years ago. We're talking about the 2015. Eli Manning threw 35 touchdowns. So all those people, all these people, like Eli is on the downside of his career, which he might be, he's declined, et cetera, et cetera. Eli Manning has had a multitude of 4,000-yard seasons. It wasn't that far ago that he almost had a 5,000-yard season. 35 touchdowns.
But I think the problem with Eli Manning, and I hate that we do this in the sports world, they like to do comparison. You cannot compare Eli Manning to Peyton Manning, his brother. We all know Peyton Manning is a better quarterback.
Yeah.
But you have to admit, Eli is good, but not as great as his brother. But Eli was lucky that he had great defense around him, great protection around him for him to go 4,000 yards in the season. You can't admit to, you have to admit to that. And
but I
Super Bowl,
also admit, he got through a lot of those seasons without an offensive line that was good. Think about that. Eli has not had a really good offensive line around him in at least 5 years. They haven't addressed the running game in a long time. So I want you to really think about that. To be able to do what he did, even though he led the league in interceptions 3 different seasons, which is something that quote-unquote great quarterbacks don't do. But when you really don't have running games and you're forced to throw the ball 550, 600 times every year, you're bound to throw a whole lot of picks. He does make those. He does have those games where he would throw 4 touchdowns and go for 400 yards, but then he'll also have those games where he just throws 5 picks and you're like, well, what the hell was that?
So, Phil, what do you think the next steps Giants should do now?
Well, the next steps, I mean, going into the off season, they have to address this running game because it is horrendous. The running game needs to be addressed. They need to go sign somebody. I don't know who. I mean, I per se, I don't have a list of free agent targets that are up for the off season for running backs. But they gotta bring in somebody with experience, because I mean you cannot go with Darkwa and Gallman. I mean, somebody with running back experience has to come in here at least to mentor these two guys. Plus, if the Giants are that serious about trying to get Eli another Super Bowl before his career is over, they need to do that. I mean, we know what we have with the wide receivers, and if Brandon Marshall, Odell Beckham Jr., Sterling Shepard, and I'll even throw in Dwayne Harris, if they come back healthy for next season, there's no reason why this team cannot win a Super Bowl. Plus, the other thing I should mention is the defense. The defense needs to be healthy. It just can't all be Landon Collins and Jason Pierre-Paul and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. The whole defense has to come together as a whole like it did last season. And if you remember last season, if not for the defense, who knows if the Giants would have made the playoffs.
Exactly. Yeah, but what's the problem this year? The defense are always tied because they're always on the field. The offense go on the field for like 5 minutes. As you know, they can't move the ball or can't throw the ball. Defense is back out. And you could tell by the third or fourth quarter, they're exhausted. Even yesterday, you could tell. They're like exhausted.
Oh, yeah,
like, come on.
There is just no offense despite what the final score is. The offense is horrendous, and when you don't have a great running game and your best receivers are out, I mean, it just can't be Evan Ingram. I mean, granted, this kid can be a tight end and a receiver. I mean, we see what he can do. It just can't be one player.
Just also think about this. And that full compliment, like I brought up on our last Thursday show, Eli Manning has only had his starting wide receivers this season, talking about Beckham, talking about Shepard, talking about Marshall. A total of 93 snaps. 93 snaps all season. You can't get any continuity involved with that because they have to learn the offense, learn the system. And in the 2 years that Ben McAdoo has been with this team, with his 13-15 record, even though they went 11-5 last year, the team failed to score 30 points. Not once did they score 30 points. With this kind of offense that they built this year, you would have thought that they would be putting those numbers up. But when you don't have a running game, and also to go to Phil's point, we talked about the running game being the way it is. We remember when Adrian Peterson was on the verge of being traded from the Vikings, and he eventually was traded to the Saints before he ended up in Arizona right now, he talked about wanting to play for the Giants. He said it sounded intriguing. LeGarrette Blount wanted to play for the Giants. That fell through. Russell Okung, who is an offensive left tackle, who said he expressed interest in playing for the Giants to block Eli Manning's blind side. All of these moves go to the general manager. And my last point on the whole Eli starting benching stuff. For all of this nonsense that John Mara, the owner of the team, said that, well, this entire thing wasn't supposed to happen and I don't like the way it was handled, et cetera, et cetera. No coach of a team that has a Super Bowl winning quarterback, that has a streak that is, in essence, the second coming of a Cal Ripken Jr.-like streak. He had just passed his brother, Peyton Manning, for most consecutive starts and is only behind Brett Favre, who was already in the Hall of Fame. You do not, as a coach, make that decision unless you get the blessings of the ownership. You're not going to just say, as a coach, I'm just going to sit this guy down and do et cetera, et cetera. This had to come from the coach. This had to be a GM, owner, coach meeting. And the brain trust had to trust that this was going to happen. It was calculated the wrong way. It backfired. And as you heard over the last few days, the New York City tri-state area and fans and players from other sports looked at this as a complete chicken move in the way it was done because there was no plan in place when it was done.
I have two other callers right now, K-Dog, and I got Big Will in the house. Let me start with K-Dog. K-Dog, what do you have to say? Then I'll go to Big Will.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How you guys
doing?
K-Dog? Well, to my fellow Giants fans, and all I got to say is this, that from what I see, both Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo deserve to be fired for the way they mismanaged the Giants. But there's another thing that we're not pointing out. John Mara, the co-owner, he came out of this looking terrible because you know what? He admitted that he did sign off on McAdoo's plan to bench Eli Manning at halftime in Oakland on Sunday. Yeah.
He said that. It was his decision. He's the owner. He has to be. The only way that decision gets made, K-Dog, is if it's co-signed by the owner. It's not like they're sitting down Jimmy Garoppolo, or they're going to sit down Kellen Clemens. Or they're going to sit down a backup quarterback or somebody that doesn't have any cachet. A two-time Super Bowl MVP that has started 210 games has to come from
that was an insult. Yeah.
Okay.
And you know what?
He
said that it really had no effect on his decision to fire both Reese and McAdoo.
Well, he made the mess, and now he had to clean up. So let me go on to Big Will. Big Will, welcome.
Hey, Rod DeBod, how you doing, man?
He's a fellow Giants fan, and I'm sure he has a lot to say about Eli and the breaking news today.
Well, you know, I'm going to say it like this. Honestly, this move was too little too late because if John Mara wanted to do right by his Giants team, he would have fired Jerry Reese and John Mara, and Ben McAdoo, after the loss to the 49ers. I mean, this right here is a move for John Mara to save face because, honestly, John Mara was living in a fantasy world because last week he could not understand all of the public backlash as well as the backlash that the Giants organization received from the media. And, honestly, it was deservedly so. I know that there are going to be some people that are going to bash Eli Manning and say, well, you know what? Outside of, you know, those two Super Bowls, what does he have? I mean, listen, Eli Manning has been the face of the Giants organization now for 14 years. And it's a situation where, you know what, he's been up and down, but the bottom line is when the chips are pushed in the middle of the table, the guy's clutch. And you really can't gauge a guy to say whether or not he's done at the age of 37 because what team has Jerry Reese put around this guy for the last 5 years? The Giants haven't had an O-line. They haven't been able to run the ball. And it's basically, Eli, you go out there and do everything. Now you have Eli this season throwing the ball to wide receivers who you couldn't, like, pick out of a police lineup if they had their uniforms on. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're dealing with right now. And I think either way it would have been bad, but I think for them to bench Eli last week and say, you know what, we're going with Geno Smith, especially when everybody that follows the Giants in the New York area has seen Geno play up front and they know what they're getting, and they're like, okay, yep. Geno Smith, you know, definitely is not the future. And I think, you know, they made McAdoo the scapegoat. But, I mean, McAdoo really did not help his situation because he didn't have any regrets about it, especially when you're talking about you're benching a Hall of Fame guy. And then especially when you're benching a Hall of Fame guy and you're not doing it with a clear-cut replacement. This isn't like, okay, in 2004 – You knew that Kurt Warner was going to be sat down at some point and you were going to go with Eli Manning because you drafted him first overall. No, you do it for Geno Smith. You don't even play Davis Webb. And to make matters worse about Davis Webb, this guy didn't even get any reps in the preseason. So what makes
he's
you
been
think
– inactive all season. That's what befuddles me, this entire thing, is that if they were going to look at him, he was inactive every game this season. So what was the point in all of this?
This was nothing. I mean, it was bad. But, I mean, the thing was, the damage has already been done because Eli's streak is over. You know what I'm saying? He's never going to get that back. This was trying to save face, and the reason why, if you look at the Giants' schedule, starting with Sunday's game against Dallas, three out of their last four games are at home. Mm-hmm. And John Mara did not want to have to deal with an irate fan base, because if you go back to the game yesterday at Oakland, there were Giants fans out there wearing Eli Manning jerseys chanting, "We want our quarterback," prior to the game behind the Giants bench. John Mara could not face that come Sunday afternoon against the Dallas Cowboys.
So basically he's saying that he chickened out.
Definitely.
He chickened
basically
out.
Definitely,
it's an owner that is out of touch with the franchise, is out of touch with his fan base, and is out of touch with the way that they do business. And in the way he did this, he, as for the last few years, have been doing nothing but scapegoating. They did the same thing with Tom Coughlin. Coughlin was the reason why the Giants were out of touch, and then they weren't playing the way they were, so they got rid of Coughlin, but he kept his coaching staff. Now McAdoo comes in with Coughlin's coaching staff, and you're getting the same results. After what happened last year when with the entire the Bolt incident after the playoff loss, okay, what happens now? We'll see what happens. A lot of things with McAdoo is he comes across as a very unapologetic, very cold, and throws everybody under the bus, and he does not have accountability. Because he's able to throw Eli Manning under the bus when he throws picks. But he didn't say anything about Odell Beckham with all of the sideline antics and him getting all crazy and bent out of shape on the sideline. So it's like for one player, you have one set of rules. For another person, you just don't care. Why? He had no guts. And I think that the New York fan base looked at that and they turned on him very quick. Mara didn't pick up on that. And that's the reason why this whole mess has happened so far.
You mentioned Coughlin, but at the same time, I was just going to say, you know, this blame game has been going on for a while, because let's not forget, when the Giants' offense got stale after their last Super Bowl win, when guys started to get old, Kevin Gilbride became the first fall guy.
Exactly.
And then they brought in Ben McAdoo. Yep. And Ben McAdoo was supposed to be the offensive guru. And, you know, at first it looked like he was sandbagging, you know, to try to, you know, get Tom Coughlin out of there to get the job.
Right.
And obviously it's clear that he wasn't sandbagging. Right. The guy doesn't know what he's doing. Then, you know, the next fall guy was Perry Fuel as a defensive coordinator. Okay, so you get Fuel and you bring in Spagnuolo. Now the fall guy becomes Coughlin, and now the last fall guy becomes Eli. But I think the problem is, I've asked myself this all day, and I'll ask you guys, you know, when the Giants won during the first part of Jerry Reese's tenure, was it more about them winning with Ernie Accorsi's guys, or was it more about Jerry Reese? Because the bottom line is, you look at all of those key players from those two championship teams, like your Justin Tux, your O.C. Umanioris, your David Deals, your Chris Knees. The Giants never replaced those guys, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope, they don't. They never
did. And that was strong defense back then.
Yeah, that was.
You're not lying about that. That was strong defense. And you know what? They were able to win. That was a dominant Giants team. But however, they've lost it. This season had to be like, man, oh, man, it was a nightmare season. But any Giants fan who was watching the game, because for me, yesterday, I barely watched the game because what was I going to watch? A bunch of fumbles?
A train wreck. But it's funny that Big Will mentioned that, because didn't Jerry Reese stop spending money after a certain time because he didn't want to go out and recruit people?
The Giants last year spent a ton of money on the defensive side of the ball.
Last year, the Giants
are a franchise. They very rarely spend money like that. Unless it's on their own players to keep them there. Very rarely do they go out and make a big splash in the free agent market because they have their own way. They have their own, the way that they look at free agents, that they try to, for the most part, grow them in, kind of like a farm system. Let's draft guys, plug them in, let them grow with the franchise. That's usually what happens. But what we're seeing now is the game has evolved, and for whatever reason, Jerry Reese has only made a couple of drafts picks here that were, we could say, were worth it. The JPPs and Odell Beckhams, and also looking at Eli Apple, some of these other guys that were drafted by him. Those have seemingly worked. The problem is he didn't do a great job filling the rest of the roster. They were top-heavy up front, and in the back of the secondary last year they looked really good. But once they got hurt, they proved they had no depth, nobody coming off the bench to help the team out. And when you were able to run the ball on the Giants, because as I said before, they were top heavy up front, that fell apart because any team can run on this team. It's like once the other team started running the football, they would part like the Red Sea, and they gave up so many yards on the ground.
Okay, so to Big Will, who do you think should be the next coach next season?
I think it comes down to, first and foremost, they got to get a GM because, I mean, they brought back Ernie Accorsi as a consultant. Obviously, he's not going to do the job. I mean, Kevin Abrams is the assistant. He's acting on the interim basis right now. I think a guy to look out for is going to be Dave Gettleman, the former Panthers general manager. And the reason why I bring it up is prior to taking over with Carolina, he was a guy that worked in the Giants front office. He knows their way. You know, the Mara and Tisch families are very familiar with him, and I think he can get back to basics. I think the biggest thing for the Giants is this. Whoever they bring in as a general manager or head coach, first and foremost, they need to address the Eli Manning situation, because you have to ask yourself, we're going to get a high draft pick. Do you still take a chance to build around Eli for a couple of seasons? You're going to get an easy schedule, or do you simply part with him? And I think, you know, what the Giants should have done initially is if they wanted to rebuild going into 2018, I think this year is a wash already, obviously. Just let Eli finish out the season as a starter. Let him keep his streak going. And then you come to him in the offseason because he's earned that right and say, Eli, you know, we want to go in a new direction. We want to rebuild, you know, and we don't want to do this to you. We're open to trading you to whichever team that you would like to go to, and, you know, we're going to try to accommodate you. I think that would have been the right thing. Honestly, the only way I see Eli Manning with the Giants in 2018 is, first and foremost, John Mara needs to apologize to him both publicly and privately, because what we've seen over the last week is, like, typically – like an un-Giant move, because, you know, typically the Giants take care of their guys, especially a guy who has won two championships and he's been the face of the franchise. You know, he's not been a knucklehead. I mean, listen, these guys turned around and gave JPP a contract extension after he blew up his hand. So this guy has been the face of this franchise for darn near 15 years. Yeah. So I think they owe it to him, you know, that much to try to make right by him. And I'm really, for the first time and probably like since the early stages of the season. I'm really looking forward to a Giants game because I just did a podcast about this on my website. I think Sunday's game for the Giants has the equivalent or has the potential to have the equivalent of what we saw from the New York Mets 2 years ago when, you know, Wilmer Flores was traded and then he wasn't traded and then the fans really rallied around him. I guarantee you that the fans are really going to rally around Eli Manning come Sunday. It's a division game against Dallas. And I think this team is going to rally around him because, you know, people can say whatever they want about Eli being up and down. You've never heard a teammate have anything bad to say about him.
And like Sean said, that's all that matters is respect. Well, we have 9 minutes left. I want to go to another New York topic before we go. The New York Yankees has signed a new manager.
Really?
It's shocking to me. I'm not gonna lie, I was shocked. Aaron Boone. Starting from Phil, then to Big Will. I know you guys are Mets fans, but what is your take about Aaron Boone as a New York Yankees manager? Phil.
Good luck. Because he's going to need it. He will need it. I mean, you're playing – you just became the manager of the New York Yankees, one of the most decorated teams in all of sports. And you know there's going to be a lot of expectation into the upcoming season. And – look, I wish him the best. I mean, I really don't know. I really don't know what to say about this, but go Mets.
Okay, Phil. All right. I mean, Big Will, go ahead.
All right, I'll say this just before I get off of here, man. My thing is, I said it before and I'll say it again. I think the Yankees made a mistake in parting with Joe Girardi because I think Joe Girardi had the perfect temperament for that organization, the fan base, and the media because, you know, Joe Girardi, you know, stuck up for his guys. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, Joe Girardi knew how to get the most out of a situation. And I mean, Joe Girardi basically was dealing with the cards that were dealt to him because the Yankees did not have a starting pitcher who could consistently go deep into ball games this past season. They relied on their bullpen. You had a young team with young stars like Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez, and, you know, he made the most of that situation. And I know that there are going to be some Yankee fans that are going to say, well, you know, he didn't, like, prior to this season, they hadn't made a deep run in a while. But I'm like, listen, look at what Joe Girardi had to deal with over the past few years. You have to deal with the whole A-Rod situation, and he handled that like a pro. It was Brian Cashman and the Steinbrenners who allowed Robinson Cano to leave, and the Yankees missed that bat and that lineup. So, I mean, Joe Girardi still – you know, had this team with winning records. They got to the postseason several times. I think the Yankees overplayed their hand because, I mean, a good manager like Joe Girardi is hard to come by. And, I mean, everybody, you know, is thinking Aaron Boone's going to be that guy. Honestly, and I don't want to sound like a hater, but I think Aaron Judge takes a step back next season because the bottom line is he strikes out a ton. And he has those lapses where he can really go into a funk. So I think that is something that's really going to hurt the Yankees. And they still need to address their pitching. So, I mean, they had the good run this year. But I think, you know, people didn't give enough credit to Joe Girardi, man.
That's definite. Girardi, I still think, got a raw deal in a lot of instances. But also at the same
time. Yes, he did.
He
got
dumped personality.
Hold on. Big Will, thank you so much. Tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m.
Yep, 9 p.m. Eastern for the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, man.
Oh, I got to listen to this.
Thanks so much.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
Yes, thank you. Have a good night.
All right, well.
Girardi rubbed some people the wrong way the way he would manage, but at the same time, as Will just stated, this is a guy that, you know, he went through transitions, transitioning from the Jeter years and transitioning from the A-Rod situation and then winning a championship and then going into the guys declining and Posada retiring and Pettit and all the other guys going and having to rebuild with the young guys and still able to get this team going. You know, people forget Girardi spent a year managing the Marlins, one manager of the year, and he was fired from there. So, you know, you're going to go from that to Aaron Boone, who has no managerial experience, but he's been in the booth at ESPN and be able to watch. So I think they're trying to look for somebody that they can mold into the Yankee way. He's young. I mean, he's only 44, so it's not like he's an old guy. And he can grow with the team, maybe closer in personality to the guys he's going to manage. We'll find out how that works. But, you know, this is the Yankees, and we don't know how they're going to have their input on him. But I guess we'll find out when April comes along and we'll see how it works.
My intake before I go to K-Dog, believe it or not, I was shocked about Aaron Boone. I don't know what to make of it because, once again, it's like, him? Really? Out of all the guys? But if I had to pick someone, if this is a wild pick, I would have picked A-Rod. Why A-Rod? Because I met him a couple of times. He has a good personality. I'm like, despite the steroid situation, whatever, it is what it is. Nobody's perfect. And it's just one of those guys, he loves baseball. He talk about baseball. He breathes baseball. Even though his girlfriend's very hot, but besides that, I could see, for some reason, right now, I could see A-Rod as a good fit as a coach right now. Or, you know what, a hitting coach at least, or something, that type of skill. I think they should have gone with A-Rod compared to Aaron Boone. And, you know, A-Rod's more popular. He could handle the pressure of the New York Yankees. Once again, like you guys said earlier, talk about the pressure of a New York team or a big market team. That will take a toll on you. Aaron Boone, we don't know yet. But A-Rod, he can handle the media and the pressure easily because he's been in the spotlight for a very long time. K-Dog?
Man, hey, listen, look. A-Rod knows the game, and A-Rod knows his team. That's what I thought they would have picked. But you know what? We'll just have to wait and see what Aaron Boone has to bring to the Yankees. That's all I got to say about it.
Okay. We'll
just have to wait and see.
With that, I know I have to give Phil his Ranger news. What's going on with the Rangers lately?
Well, let's see. We got Ryan McDonough back, but Sean, you may know about this. Mika Zibanejad, another injury, and he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, that seems to have been the recurring theme of this season of way too many injuries at the wrong time. So they've been able to weather the storm, but to have Zibanejad hurt at this point in the season as we're closing in toward another month away from about the halfway point going almost. So
also
I think at some point, probably come trading the deadline with the Rangers, if the Rangers are in contention for a playoff spot, you know they're going to make a move.
Okay,
we don't know who
guys.
Pieces will be.
Hold on, quickly.
But
LeVar Ball took his son out from the UCA school after the shoplifting incident. Was that a good move to do, Sean?
He's an idiot. Plain
okay.
and simple.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's the only thing I have to say about it, because the guy is doing nothing more than, I'm not saying he doesn't love his children, but he is an egomaniacal idiot and is doing everything he can to take as much credit for a lot of the stuff that's happening as possible, and he's putting his sons in a lot of the wrong position, mostly because his mouth is writing checks that he can't cash.
Okay. Phil, are the Philadelphia Eagles for real, or do you think it's just a phase that they're going through again?
To me, it could be a phase they're going through again. Because come playoff time, I don't know if they're going to be able to handle the pressure. I mean, you saw what Seattle did to them last night. The best offense in the league, and you lost to Seattle. And they got blown out.
Yeah, but they still got the best
record
in the league right
now.
And K-Dog, I'm sorry, we got a minute left. What do you think about the suspension of Rob of the New England Patriots? Do you think one game suspension was good? Or he should have gotten to.
Well, you know what? As a hater of the New England Patriots, I'd say he deserves two suspensions. Sort of bum out.
Two suspensions?
Yeah. And then he'll get injured and he'll be out for the season.
That was a real shot, though. That was a cheap shot. Because not only did he hit the guy while he was on the ground, he hit him with the elbow pad that has the elbow that has the brace on it. And the guy was hurt.
I don't know what you guys talk about. My monitor went out. I did not see anything. I'm sorry, guys. I did not see no hit. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show. I am the Hot Rod with Sean Black, K-Dog.
You just found what?
Yeah.
Somebody right now. And Phil the Fish Man Fisher. Thank you so much. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure.
The pleasure was all yours.
All yours, Hot Rod. You guys have a good night and be safe.
Yes, have a great Hanukkah, my friend.
Thank you.
Hanukkah, really?